In Chicago, on a Friday afternoon, futures finished the day lower. The nearby contract for the soft red winter wheat settled 8¼ cents lower at $7.47¼. July futures at $7.63¼, a settlement price down 8 cents for the day. The hard red in Kansas City for the July at $8.24¼ in the harvest month, 3 cents lower. Back in Chicago from the corn pit, this one's a close now, $6.81½, down 7¾. May at 2 o'clock this afternoon, down 9 cents at $6.82. July corn at $6.75, finished 11½ lower. In September futures there at $5.97½, rather $5.97 even, down 12½. In December futures at $5.72, 15½ lower on its close. Next year's March at $5.83¾, 13½ cents lower. Remember, these are closes and not settlement prices, so they probably will change. January contract in the soybeans, the settlement here at $13.89, down 14 cents. The March at $13.67¼, down 19¼. And the May futures at $13.58½, down 19¾. July soybeans, $13.55, settled 21½ lower. And the August contract, $13.37, down 19¼. Next year's November at $12.77, finished 14¾ cents lower. Bean meal futures, $7.40 lower on its settlement at $3.98.20, and the bean oil at $49.42, down 79 cents. Live cattle futures on the afternoon, the Febs at $132.95, down 90. April 55 lower at $136.77½. January feeders at $153.17½, up 82½. The March at $156.32½, up $1.42½, and lean hogs finished the April at $89.85, down 32½ cents. This is the fourth day of January 2012, rather 13. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason on the phone line with us. Mike Zuzulo, he's a global commodity analytics in Lafayette, Indiana. Good afternoon to you, Mike.
Happy New Year, Todd.
Hey, Happy New Year to you as well. On the flip side, things have turned lower, and they keep drifting down in the commodity markets.
I think most of the producers out there probably are going to be very glad to see the holidays go, because ever since the 29th of November, we've lost anywhere from 10 to 13% in our grain prices, and it's been kind of like watching the Hindenburg land here the last 30 days, quite frankly.
That was a fiery problem there. So hopefully it won't be that much of a crash and burn, but I suppose we'll float a bit lower. How far down do you think we can go?
Well, I think that if the analysis is accurate, that we got the fiscal deal, most of the commodities and asset classes went higher after the fiscal deal. Grains did not, and that since that happened, that kind of gave me the idea and bias that maybe the commodity trading funds and more the algo trading funds that are more computer technically oriented would try and continue to press this market into the report next week. And when they get new and fresh data, along with some of the commodity index shifts that will happen next week, maybe I think we'll see some profit taking and some position squaring ahead of the report. So I think we made some strides today with the wheat market, Todd. We did see the wheat corn spread, which was down 6 cents to 8 cents at one point in the day, a bid offer. We ended up getting that back up 2.5 cents to the wheat side. We also saw the bean spread come around thanks to the basis. So I think we're carving our bottom out here as we get close to next Thursday's report. And I'd look for probably the majority of the profit taking and short covering, if I'm right about these types of funds that are involved in this recent break, probably to occur around the Monday-Tuesday time frame.
Yeah, some of the press information that they receive is actually already coming in. It'll come in completion, of course, when the USDA reports both the crop production, and that's the final one for the year,
yeah,
and the grain stocks report are released by USDA. But, of course, there's always folks releasing some numbers ahead of time. Did you see the Informa numbers and some others today?
Yeah, Informa came out. They were the big mover in the markets around mid-session, in my view. We saw both a yield increase of 0.8 of a bushel in beans and 1 bushel per acre in the corn. So production in corn went up 75 million bushels. I think that if you were probably in the analytical world, you're probably expecting about 100 million bushels reduction in demand between exports and FSI. So you're talking about maybe adding a 175 number in terms of added supply to the carryover level, puts you around 825. I think at this price level of March corn trading that 680 level, I think we've certainly priced in an 825, maybe even bigger carryover at this point. And in the beans with the 65 million bushel production increase, I think that probably could be offset with a 75 million bushel increase in exports and crush. So in actuality, I think it may be likely that we see a 120 carryover come in next week because the demand offsets the production increase if we see one like Informa's talking about. I think bottom lining it, the mindset of the trade, they would not handle a bean export decline very well at this stage of the game given the Chinese bean cancellations, because I think the trade's assuming that the Chinese are buying or selling out of their high-priced beans, repurchasing them at lower levels. So while we've probably factored in as a trade a decrease in the corn demand, I think a bean demand decrease, especially exports, would not be a friendly fundamental factor at all.
Are you looking to, and at one point we were talking about wheat trying to lead this marketplace.
Right.
Are you looking to soybeans to take that over and pull the rest of the complex up?
No, I don't think that's likely at this stage of the game. I think that the trade's probably going to have to get back on a weather bias for the beans before we can get I think the trade's going to have to get on a weather bias, Todd, regardless, and it seems to me that the most stark and obvious weather issue is the Southern Plains and the Central Plains drought, and if we do shut down the Mississippi River, maybe that is bearish in terms of cash sales and getting product to the poor, but what the cause of that that river shutdown potentially going to happen, what that cause would be, is the actual drought itself, and I think that more than offsets the negativity. So I still think the wheat, but between both the demand side of the equation and the demand pickup, that the fact that the Paris wheat is so premium to the Chicago wheat right now, and given the drought that we have going on right now, I still look for the wheat to be the major mover after the report comes out next week.
Why so much of a premium for Paris?
Well, I think part of it is currency. I think part of it goes back to these high-frequency quantitative funds. I think that we're only losing wheat demand when it comes to feed wheat, but when it comes to high-quality wheat, we are the best game in town in the price by a long shot at this point. I think Paris closed at about a $60 a ton premium to our futures, so even with transportation, we have probably a $20 to $30 discount compared to them. And I think, you know, I'm not the only one in the market, I think, saying this. I think there was a note put out by Dow Jones yesterday and one of the major commodity bank funds that trade are also saying this is not a supply-demand issue in the wheat. This seems to be something other than fundamentals, this recent price break. So I attribute it to the funds and the high-frequency people and the people that are more motivated by computer models than they are motivated by fundamentals. And they simply don't have anybody pushing back right now at this stage.
Well, will the computers give up eventually then?
Well, I think that's where the USDA report and the oversold conditions and the Fibonacci retracements all come together and say, okay, computer model traders, is this the right place to be? And, the algorithmic traders do build models that put in the USDA data as soon as that USDA data comes in. I mean, some of them do. I'm stereotyping
right,
and generalizing,
right.
But, they do look at that data, and if we would get a neutral to friendly report, I think, they'd probably turn away from being net short wheat, which they'll probably be net short over 20,000 contracts by today's commitment of traders data.
Have you been watching the corn and soybean spread, and has that ratio changed enough that you think that it changes acreage?
Yes, the ratio is pointing, now that we've gotten the new crop ratio in the Nov bean Dees corn spread up to that almost 2.25 level, I think you are probably starting to attract some bean acres at this stage of the game, especially if you didn't go after really high-priced cash rent and you aren't locked into corn on corn to get the most profitability on a good crop. So I think you are starting to turn some heads with that ratio. It's probably too early in the game for producers to really hard and fast turn, but I think they're certainly looking at it.
Thanks so much for taking the time with us.
Thank you, sir.
Mm-hmm. That is Mike Zuzulo. He's with Global Commodity Analytics and Consulting in Lafayette, Indiana. Joins us here on the Closing Market Report on this Friday afternoon.
Support for today's broadcast comes from ADM, now providing a new mobile site, FarmerView, for up-to-date futures, weather, market commentary, and local bids. Available at adm.com/farmerview.
Well, she's the winter meeting season, and if you don't know where to go in the next few weeks, it's not because we don't have something going on at WILL. You can find it all on our website at willag.org. Just hit calendar. Voices of Illinois Agriculture, the Corn and Soybean Classics Series, the Pork Expo, the Soybean Summit, all coming up, and our All-Day Ag Outlook meeting. They're all listed there. A whole bunch of Ag Outlook panels, too, at willag.org. Just hit calendar.